What's going on, everybody? This is Aaron Atwell, your host, here with my co-host Chaz Reed. What's happening, man?
Aaron Linwood Atwell.
I don't like that name.
I think Linwood is a good name for you, man. It's nice and fitting. Linwood.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big Linwood fan.
Linwood. Mr. Linwood.
I mean, I'll go with it. I could be Linwood. Would people call me Lenny?
That's pretty cool, too.
No, I don't like Lenny because it's from Of Mice and Men. That's the guy that keeps squishing all the little animals because they're furry.
Okay. Well, I'll get back to the drawing board on your fake nickname, your fake all middle name. What's going on, dog? Everything's good over here, man. Besides my sinuses.
Yeah, mine too. Again, it's like three podcasts in a row where my sinuses have been acting up. They were good. You know, we shot together this weekend. They were fine. No problems. And then Monday, I'm outside kicking the ball around with my son out back. Sure enough, it rained yesterday. And then that was all she wrote. And now I sound like this again.
Hey, sound good on that mic though, man.
I like the mic. I'm a fan of how it looks and sounds. I like it.
I like the mic, man.
So what do you think? We shot together this weekend. Anything you got to say about that wedding, Chaz? There was a couple of unusual things.
This weekend was okay. I think my brain is still processing and everything.
Did you ever figure out what happened to old dude?
Who?
The dude that might have died.
Oh, heck no. Heck no. I think it was because that's the second time this happened. Like, the photographer's husband said, I think his mom said he was a diabetic and he had been drinking all day and not eating anything. And yeah, he just rock bottomed and out like a light. So I guess he's fine.
That's not ideal. That's not ideal at all.
So I don't know. I mean, people, you know, I guess people, they don't respect their disability, disease. I don't know what you want to call it. Until stuff like that happens. So maybe, you know, moving forward, he'll be more cautious of what he does.
Yeah, take a little better care of that situation.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, it was a wedding. You know, things at weddings sometimes get out of hand. You start having a little bit too much fun.
Yeah.
I understand.
Oh, well, maybe I should paint the picture so everybody can really understand what the heck we're talking about.
That's a great idea because there's some people only listening.
So we were at the reception and we were waiting on the entrance is to start. And the bridal party was getting ready to line up outside the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just standing in the middle and I heard a hard thud on the ground. And I thought it was a chair.
Mm-hmm.
I thought a dude fell in his chair, but I looked over and his chair was sitting up, but he was on the ground. So it was his head. He like literally just like fell sideways out of his chair, like boom.
Yeah.
And he just landed head first, like straight all the kitchen action, bow, hit the floor. It was super loud.
Very loud and very hard.
Everybody ran over there and hit the lathe, everything, and you know, they called EMS and got him up out of there, but yeah, that's the second time this happened. Last time it happened was in December for me. So 2 months in a row. I'm on a roll.
That's not a good roll to be on, though. I don't know if you should keep track of that one, bro. Leave that one quiet. Yeah, but we had a good time. I mean, overall, it was a pretty standard wedding, apart from that part. It was pretty normal. All right, Chaz. So let's move on to today's topic. Thanks everyone for tuning in. And just so everyone knows, on Spotify and YouTube, you can now watch us. Yeah, you just load it up on your phone and there we are. Bada bing, bada boom. I mean, you might not want to, but we're there if you'd like to.
Yeah.
So we got kind of a two-part today. Kind of. But the first question is, what is the ideal number of weddings a year? And I think you could expand that to projects in general. But specifically, weddings, you know, they take a lot out of you. Right. So, Chaz, what's the ideal number per year? And how do you come to that number?
I think you come to that number by either one, figuring out what you want your yearly takeaway to be. Mm-hmm. Or how busy you want to be.
That's fair.
I used to want to stay like super busy. I feel like if I wasn't shooting all the time, I would get rusty. But life's dynamics have changed that. And it's kind of like I value the downtime a little more now. So, right. You know, I'm so used to doing 50 and 60 weddings a year that now I'm kind of like, man, what is like 30, you know, feel mm-hmm. like? That's still a good, you know, amount, but.
Yeah, it's still a good clip.
It'd give me more weeks off, you know, more downtime, more time to go outside and, you know, enjoy life. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about you?
For me, it depends. And I have that answer for like everything in life. And I know it's annoying for some people, but it really depends. And it depends on what you want. And like Chess said, how busy you want to be. And also how much money do you need? Excuse me. For me personally, I think like two or three a month is fine. Two projects a month. And, you know, that also depends like how much are you charging per project? Can you make it on two a month? Three a month I can do. When you start getting into every weekend or multiple weeks throughout the month, it's not as good for me. You know, I had a season where I wanted to chase and make as much money as possible. And it wasn't worth it to me personally. I would rather, you know, have that time to see my kids and, you know, go to their games or their dance recitals, throw the ball out back, play board games. We like to play a lot of board games, and make those memories and have those experiences. But on the other side of that token is you do have to make enough money, to have those experiences and, you know, be able to afford the stuff. So 2 to 3 months, is good for me. You know, that's 24 to 36 a year. And I think that's right in about the same range, maybe a little bit less than Chaz. But Chaz, you know, he's spent a lot of years up there in them 50s and 60s. I had 1 year in 50s and it almost killed me for the weddings. It was rough.
It's definitely rough. I don't know how I did it.
I don't either.
And I was working full time doing it too.
You really were. You were working a job and every single weekend, multiple days per weekend.
It was just kind of like, I think with a job, it's like, okay, show up or you're going to get fired.
Right.
So there's that obligation.
Yep.
And with the weddings, it's like, okay, I'm not looking at my calendar. I look at my calendar to see if I'm available. Am I available? Yes, I am. Okay, I can mm-hmm. do it. So now I have that contractual obligation. And it's like, it don't matter how tired you are, you're obligated. Somebody's depending on you. Don't let them down. Go.
You just did it. Just got after it. I think this could also change, though, based on what you offer. You know, there for a long time, I was offering just a highlight package. Mm-hmm. And so if it's just a highlight package, like I could do more highlight packages than I can short film packages. Or the same thing, you know, on the commercial side, if it's social content, well, I could do more of that than I can like long form content. I think a lot of that depends on what you're offering and how long it takes you to turn it around. You always got to take into account, I think you say this, the sweat equity. Don't you say that?
I've heard of sweat equity.
I thought that was you that says that.
I forgot who says sweat equity, but I've heard it though.
Somebody says it, but you have to manage it properly, or you know you'll get that burnout coming in. excuse me, people. I got a frog in my throat here, which is nothing new. Yeah. So as somebody who's made that mistake of trying to offer too much, too often, I get some emails popping up here. Get off my screen. All right now. If you want to go higher, and this is something Chaz does a lot better than me, if you want to scale and, you know, keep taking on more work, you should hire people to help you at the things that either you don't want to do, maybe you're not the best of them, or maybe you're good at them, but you just have too much work. Just hire some people to help you. Chaz is awesome about hiring a second shooter when he wants more footage or more coverage. Chaz will hire an editor. If he wants to make sure he stays on time and doesn't get backlogged. If you try to have a high volume and do it all by yourself like I did, it eventually catches up with you. And by the time you realize it, that it has caught up with you, it's oftentimes too late. And you're going to find either unhappy customers, burnout, maybe you've lost some relationships, or the dreaded B word, backlog. Nobody wants the backlog, man.
I was like, B word.
I'm gonna have to mark this one explicit because I used the B word.
About a curse.
Oh, backlog. Yeah, the backlog monster is terrible. Nobody, it's terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Warren Buffett, he was like, hire people where you either don't want to put your time into or you're not the best at it. You know, hire someone that's greater than you.
Yep.
And that's the way he, you know, was able to do what he does. Or that's the way he was able to reach where he's at. He's like, yeah, I can do accounting, but why would I waste my time on accounting when I make the money, you know, doing this research on this and saying, let's purchase XYZ. You know, yeah. I need to get somebody an accountant to take care of that. So that's one less thing I have to think about. So he will hire the pro at that. So he doesn't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with either way. You know, if you want to keep it small, one to two people operation, that's fine. But you just have to know your limitations and you have to stick with your plan, or else all that stuff can sneak up on you. And like I said, once it sneaks up, like it doesn't announce itself. You don't realize you're burnt out until you're burnt out. You don't realize that, you know, things aren't going well until they actually aren't. At least most times in my experience, you don't know.
Yeah.
And then it's too late to do anything about it. So that answers that first question up a little bit. Do you have anything to add to that, man?
No, it was beautiful.
I don't either. And then we get on to the meat of today's episode, the sardines, if you will.
This guy.
Sorry. Is it better to be a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond?
I want you to start this one.
All right, I can start it. There's probably a lot of different opinions on this, and I'll just give you mine. As you start, I think everybody knows you're going to start as a small fish, and it doesn't matter what size the pond actually is. And for those of you that maybe don't know the reference, the pond would be the market, in my opinion, and then the fish would be you and your business. So when you start, regardless of the size of fish you start as, and the size of pond you're in, like you're just going to have to start in a pond, and you won't start as the biggest fish in the pond. As you learn and you grow and you become a larger, more capable sardine, you have to make some decisions. And, you know, if you want to be a small fish in a big pond, that's a decision you can make. To be successful at it, are you going to be a low-cost leader You know, are you going to do the lowest prices you can hit your margins with and, you know, just grind it out like that? And that's where you'll find that as people buy on price, if you're not the lowest price, then you're non-existent to them. Because if they're looking at your services and the reason they're doing it is cheapness, as soon as someone more cost-effective pops up, well, then you're gone and they're on to the next thing. Because that's the only reason to buy with someone that's a low-cost leader. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to, you know, do low-cost work at a high volume and it makes you happy, you know, wash, rinse, repeat, let's go. Get after it, grind, work, wake up every day and go after it. Or maybe, you know, another way I look at the small fish, or do you have anything to say to that before I just keep rambling on like I do? I'll ramble for an hour if you let me.
I'm going to jump in.
Okay. Another way I look at the small fish and the big pond is maybe you're not a low-cost leader. Maybe you're not aiming to be the lowest price, but you're aiming to maybe catch a big break. And you can see that in somebody that maybe moves to a big market. Maybe you move to LA or New York and you're thinking, or maybe, I don't know, Texas. Texas has a pretty big market. And you're thinking, this is where I'm going to get my chance. It can be. It can be where you get your chance, but it can also be where you go to disappear. Yeah, I think that it's a difficult choice, that version of it. But it's, you know, and it's a small fish in a big pond. No matter if you're trying to be the lowest price or just catch a big break, you're going to have to battle for everything because there's a ton of fish and they're all coming for the same food that you are. Mm-hmm. So you better wake up and be ready for it because they are. And they probably went to bed, stayed up later than you, worked harder than you this morning. So you got to be after it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in that, if you're not the low-cost leader and you're that small fish and you're in that big pond, you got to be honest with yourself and ask, why is someone going to go with me mm-hmm. over all the other options? And you don't want to just leave that up to chance. Let me take a sip.
Sip on, brother. Okay. Small fish in a big pond or a big mm-hmm. fish in a small pond?
That's the question.
So like you said, we all start out as baby fish, you know, regardless.
Little tiny fishes.
So when I hear that, what I think of is, do you want to market where you reside?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to market elsewhere? Now, if you live in a town or a city, a small city, you know, now if you live in this small city and you take over, you'll be a big fish in a small pond.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you step outside of that and you market in a big city, you'll be a small city. In a big pond, I mean, a small fish in a big pond.
Small city.
So I look at it two ways. Mm-hmm. One, if you're the small fish in a big pond, the room for the I'll say the potential for the money that the customers that you have is a lot more greater.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in a bigger melting pot. So careers vary a lot. This is just my opinion as well. So you know, North Carolina, let's say. So you got Charlotte. Charlotte's the biggest city in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte also has NBA players, NFL players. You know, they have all the colleges. They have the entrepreneurs, the tech people. They got all type of stuff out there. So that demographic for, you know, money is just, it's crazy. So you market in there, your work might be dope, you know. You might land you an NFL player that might, you know, shoot you through the roof. But you might not, you know. Mm-hmm. It might take you a lot longer to get where you're trying to get to. If, you know, being famous, I guess, is one of your goals, or if that's what you want to call it. Or
Big in the industry.
Yeah. But then, let's say, you know, Fayetteville. That's where I live. I live in Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
Fayetteville's an okay-sized city. Best thing we got going here is the base, Fort Bragg. I mean, that's probably where the most well-paid people are at. Soldiers. People think soldiers make a lot of money. Soldiers don't make a lot of money. I did 10 years in. We don't make a lot of money. It's you're better off on your own, you know, besides the benefits and stuff.
Right.
But the thing with that is smaller payments, but more frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, it's a photographer here. He is like the go-to photographer in this city. When I tell you the go-to, like anything that happens on Fort Bragg, like an event, they're calling him.
He's there.
All the balls, all the you know, expos, whatever, they're calling him. So right. By his face being out there, because he's the big fish in the small pond,
mm-hmm.
he also gets to meet all the people there. They see him. Oh, let's hire him for our wedding. Blah, blah, blah. You know? He gains that reputation that, hey, he's the go-to guy. Like, he showed me his calendar. It's like no breathing room. Like, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't want that, though.
He's a big fish in a small pond. I mean, is that what you want? You know? But then you can market to the bigger cities where you're landing less frequently, mm-hmm. but you're still, you know, achieving that particular goal that you want to get to, the money goal, rather. It's really up to you. It's really up to you. I personally haven't marketed in my city. Like, I did, but you also have to look at demographics. Like, people aren't going to pay in my city the amount of money I want.
Mm-hmm.
Every blue moon, I think in my city, I've done three weddings. Three. In my city, three. But you have to know, like, people aren't, if they're not going to pay what you want, then you got to go elsewhere where the money resides.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's really up to you. Do I hate driving, you know, 2.5 hours sometimes? Yeah, I do. Going there is no problem. Coming home, your boy be seeing ghosts sometimes on the side of the road.
Oh, my God. Stupid.
You know, do I get excited when somebody books me for something here? Heck yeah, because I can leave my house and be there in 10 minutes. What time does this end? Oh, I'm going to be home before the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really what you want to do. Like, do you feel like being on the road? Do you want to stay in hotel rooms, you know, occasionally because you can't go home? Can you stay, you know, away from home sometimes? Mm-hmm. You know, it's different factors. So,
yeah, as the big fish in the small pond, you do get those relationships that you can count on. You know, like that photographer you were talking about. And you can kind of be the major player in your own little market. But like you said, once you get to be that big fish, the pond is only so big. And you know, you can only get so big, 'cause the small pond, it can't support an unlimited growth. And you know, you hit that top percent, like when your best customer can only pay X amount. Well, I mean, they're not going to be able to pay more than X amount.
I see it.
And you know, some, like Chaz was saying, now there are, you know, I don't want to give anybody excuses. If you live in a small market, you know, don't wake up tomorrow and be like, have an excuse for laziness, because we don't support that. You know, there's going to be some big meals to be had no matter what market you're in.
It's money everywhere.
Yeah, but the point is, the battle that you got to make for the money is, you know, maybe there's an option in a bigger market to hit some bigger targets more frequently. But you know, there's good and bad to both, I would say.
You want to shoot with the slug, or you want to shoot with
The
the buckshot?
buckshot. I knew you were going with
Hey, I mean, if we're both trying to hunt for the rabbit, I
Yep.
mean, hey, you can shoot with a slug if you want to.
Better
What
not
was that?
miss. Oh, it's my cat.
Cat.
Yeah. It's walking around and meowing. Can you hear it?
What cat?
What do you mean? A little cat. A little gray cat.
Aaron, when did you get a cat?
We got it for Christmas. We got a cat. I'll tell you that. See if he'll come here.
No.
Cat, come here.
Listen, not a cat. This guy.
I don't know how to call cats, man. It's not my cat. Kitty, kitty. Come here. It's meowing at me. Hold on, let me see if I can get it.
Go
Pause.
ahead.
Everyone, if you're just listening, I'm trying to grab a cat.
Get the cat, man. This dude got a cat. I know you had a dog and the rabbit. It wouldn't let me cook the rabbit. He can come. I had. I thought it was fluffy. I'm like, man, what the heck? You got a whole cat. Oh man, that cat tripping. That cat is dangerous. You need to put that cat down, man.
It's a sweet cat, but
Till he eat that rabbit.
well, that might be a problem.
Do Fluffy like the cat?
He don't mess with the cat, man. He's terrified of the cat. That cat throws one little hiss up, Fluffy's gone. He's backed out of there.
So the cat don't like Fluffy either?
He don't mind it. All right, that's enough meowing.
Yeah, you stuck. Stuck
Yeah,
now. Dang, that's crazy.
so to get back on track, sorry, I'm texting Casey to get the cat because I didn't realize it was in here with me. Sorry, what in the world? Can you hear it meowing still?
Yes.
It's going crazy over here.
Like, meow, 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 meow.
That's gonna be a fun segment of the podcast.
Oh man.
Somebody's gonna tune in and just like, oh, let me skip forward 30 seconds, and we're gonna go from talking about fish in a pond, and it's just gonna be cats.
Oh man. That's crazy. I thought
All
I was tripping.
right.
My bad.
I'm glad you could hear it because I didn't hear it. All right, the cat's gone. Sorry, folks. We are sorry. If you want to see the cat, tune in to the video feed and you'll see the little kitty. So we were talking about the big fish in the small pond. And once you get there, you know, like Chaz was saying, do you want to hunt with buckshot or slug? Like you can hit targets both ways. You just got to decide which one you're going to do, and you're going to have to stick with it. And realize the strengths and also the limitations that you're going to face along the way. And then what I would say is there's a third option. excuse me. And I think the third option is the best option. And if you haven't, if you haven't read the book, it's called The Blue Ocean Strategy. Some people like it, some people don't. But I found that there was some good stuff in it. And you know, just like anything else, you don't have to throw away the whole book if you don't, you know, if you like some pieces, keep the pieces. And if, you know, other parts aren't helpful, let them go. There's nothing wrong with that. But so that strategy would have you, so you're going to start as a fish and you're going to start in a pond. But as you swim through that pond, you can kind of create your own pond where you're the only fish in it. And so you think, well, if I'm the only person in the market for what this is, well, then, you know, there's not really any competition, or at least much less competition. And the way that you present that is, number one, you stop worrying about everybody else and stop. You don't have to fight the competition as much because, you know, in the wedding videography industry, in the commercial videography industry, you go into a meeting, you talk to somebody. You're not the first person they've ever talked to, probably. Sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. So you have to find ways to stop fighting the competition and instead start making what you do different. Chaz, you're floating across the screen on me. And so the way you do that, the way you create your own pond and you find that success is you be innovative and creative. How can you, you can cut things according to the book that are unnecessary. So, you know, for me, second shooters, my couples for weddings, they never want second shooters. And, you know, I don't push it. I have it as an option, but if you don't want it, you know, fine, cut it out. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the commercial side, there's things you can have and cut as well. So you can cut what's unnecessary, and then you find a way to offer something that other people aren't. You find a way, you know, with your product, with your offering, with your package, with your service, how can you differentiate yourself? Because as we all know, in this industry, everyone has cameras now. Your customers have cameras, and they might have better cameras than you. So there's got to be something that you're doing, either in your offering and the way you present it and the results that you're able to achieve or the process or the storytelling behind it. It has to be creative enough and different enough to where it's not the same thing. So, you know, if I'm in the market for a commuter car, well, I'm not going to get a Lamborghini, right? That doesn't make sense because I'm shopping based on price and reliability. But if I want specifically a Lamborghini, well, then nothing else will do. And as a video person, if you're offering something and you're presenting it in that way and you're communicating in a way that people understand that, then you're the only thing that works for what the customer wants. Because sure, they could hire, you know, XYZ films over here, but that's not the same thing. They don't want just a video. They want what you do. And hopefully what you do is more than just turn on your camera and record a video. Yeah, you just got to be unique. You got to find out what makes Chaz Reed, Chaz Reed. And you develop that and you market that and you tell that story. And once you can tell it in a way that people will believe you and they see that product and when they get it, they're like, oh, he was right. Well, then they tell their friends and then they tell, you know, the social media and they put it here and there. And before you know it, you're a fish in a pond that no one else is swimming through.
That was the nugget of the day.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't, Chaz, because we still got the nugget. I didn't even play the nugget of the day music yet.
I mean, you better learn how to rephrase that and make it shorter then, brother.
Nah, that's not it, man. I do. We got to do the nugget of the day. So that's the third option. And that's what I try to do with my commercial work. I haven't really done it with weddings as much. Yeah, but I found great success with it. And it's worked. It's worked well for me. Chaz?
I like that.
You know what time it is. You know what time it is? All right, I'm going to play this music. I'm going to play the music either way. Nah, it's not noon. Here we go. You ready? It's time for...
Chaz, it's time. Nugget of the day.
It's the nugget of the day, man.
It's
the nugget of the day, man.
All right, that was the Nugget of the Day soundtrack, brought to you by yours truly, Isaac Henry. Chaz, what's the Nugget of the Day?
Nugget of the Day. Man, I don't even know. Uh-oh. Nothing's really stuck out this week, man. You got something that stuck out this week?
I don't think I've had anything that really just stuck out this week, except maybe a little note on fear. And I guess the idea behind it, or what I was thinking about anyway, is how much fear holds you back. And it's almost like a mix of fear and imposter syndrome, where, you know, on one hand, you're half afraid to try something. And on the other hand, once you do, you feel like you're a fake. And I feel like fear holds people like us back. And I say people like us, like creative industry type people. It holds us back so much because we're always afraid, you know, if I really put my heart and soul into this thing that I'm making, people are going to judge me and it's going to be scary and it's not everyone's going to love it and it's not going to feel great. And I was just thinking on that. That's the only thing that stucks out. That's not even a word. Stuck out this week. Is just how much people like us are afraid of trying and trying new things and to keep trying bigger things and growing. And I think we just got to give ourselves permission to go out there and fail. And, you know, if you fail 7 times and you get up the 8th time, you win.
I mean, sounds like money to me.
You're the greatest co-host, Chaz.
Yeah, nothing. This week hasn't been one of my greatest weeks so far.
You're looking good on that camera. I will say that.
It took long enough to get it set up. Shoot.
Yeah, we had a... We're getting better, though. It's getting better.
Better be dang on Jack Blip. What is it? Jack Bliggity Split fast next time now, because I ain't going to Best Buy no more.
No, we got everything set up. It should be good.
Yeah, they're getting in late Monday morning, rather.
Mm-hmm.
That really just threw off everything, man. You know, mm-hmm. That small fish, big pond, man. Man, I got in about, it was almost 2:00 in the morning.
Yeah, I was late. Late with you.
I was up at 7 to get the day started, and that just threw my whole, you know what? I do got a nugget of the day.
Here we go. I'm not going to drop the music again, but y'all know what time it is.
Man, this nugget is very simple. Get an adequate amount of sleep.
That's a big nugget there.
Yo, it's like, because you can function, right? You can function, no problem. Mm-hmm. Sleep deprived, you can function. But your brain is like, it's like poopy pants, man. Like, to do anything creative when you're tired is just, it's literally a waste of time. I'm not even gonna lie.
It is. It's nearly impossible.
Yeah. Cause you're gonna start. Yeah. You'll start it. And then mm-hmm. What's gonna happen? You're gonna get sidetracked so easily. Like, nothing is gonna go as it normally would if you would have got, you know, 7 to, you know, whatever hours of sleep. 7 or more hours of sleep.
Right.
So me, it's kind of like, I already know if I get like 5 hours. I'm not doing anything work-wise. Like, I might answer a couple emails, but I might. You know what I'm saying? Just because mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, it's just trash. Didn't even a nap.
It just ends up being wasted time.
Yeah. It's just go ahead and go to sleep. Get you 7 hours of sleep so you can do something and be productive. That's my nugget of the day.
It's a beautiful nugget. Sleep is an important thing. What in the
world?
That's
all I got, man.
What's that noise on your side?
That was a truck. That was a little diesel truck.
That sound like a diesel truck.
He tripping now.
Whistling.
I need to check his exhaust emission. Oh, man, there go True Green. Hey, I got to go early. I got to unlock the gate for True Green.
Everybody, we love you. Tune in next week. Stay on the Discord or get in the Discord. And as always,
peace.
See you guys next time.